This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
In Ag News here on a Thursday, the governments of Canada and the United States have mutually agreed to restrict all non-essential travel across its border as both countries try to slow the spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau held a news conference early Wednesday morning explaining that supply lines of trade goods remain open. However, persons who are simply traveling will no longer be able to cross the U.S.-Canadian border for tourism and recreational purposes. In yesterday's press conference, Prime Minister Trudeau said that specific rules on travel restrictions between Canada and the U.S. are in flux and continue to evolve.
We talked about exactly that this morning, President Trump and I. We are looking at all options. We're not taking any options off the table to ensure that indeed our economies and our people that are so interconnected in so many different ways to ensure the smooth flow of goods and essential materials and medication across the border. These measures will last in place as long as we feel that they need to last. We will again closely coordinate on that as well.
When asked if he's considering implementing the Emergency Measures Act, which would restrict travel within Canada, Trudeau responded, not yet, but the government is looking at all options.
We will continue to look at measures as they become necessary. I will highlight, of course, that the Emergency Measures Act is a significant step, not one that we feel we need today, but not one that we are closing the door to in the future if necessary.
And again, that was Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He made the announcement of the U.S.-Canadian border travel restrictions from his official residence, where he is in self-isolation. Trudeau's wife, Sophie, was confirmed positive for COVID-19 late last week. Fears of a recession and sharply lower markets are causing some to compare the 2020 coronavirus outbreak to the 2008 financial crisis. However, Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist for Intel FC Stone, says there's one glaring difference between 2008 and 2020.
The one big difference from 2008 is we were in the middle, actually kind of on the front end, of a big commodity boom back in 2008. And that the type of commodity boom that comes only once every 30 to 35 years. The previous one was in the mid to late 70s. And so that was a real positive. But once the economic problem started, commodities started falling and fell hard because they were so high. This time, the commodity prices were already suppressed, and so they have not fallen as much as the equities, which were probably overpriced at the time.
Suderman says that means don't expect a large bounce in commodity markets because of the current low prices, but offers this advice.
So since they haven't fallen as far, they probably aren't going to bounce as much, but some of them still do have the opportunity to bounce. When did they bounce in the 2008-2009 collapse? Well, it was when the VIX started falling back below 35. What's the VIX? The VIX is the volatility index that is traded at the Chicago Board of Options Exchange and CBOE, and it is based on S&P 500 stock index put option premiums. And so the higher the fear index, the higher the fear on Wall Street, the larger those put option premiums and the higher the VIX. And I found in studying the VIX over the years, it tends to trade between 10 and 20 normally, that any time it trades above 30, it's difficult for any asset to sustain a rally unless it's a safe haven asset, unless it has a strong story.
He also outlines how commodities recovered in 2008.
And what we saw in the 2008-2009 is as we started to move past the financial crisis, the VIX, which hit an all-time record high that year of 89.5 in October 2008, the commodities didn't start recovering until the next winter, almost March, when the VIX fell back below 13 and then below, 35 and then below 30. Once that happened, then we resumed the commodity boom that we had started in 2008. So that's what I'm watching now is when does the VIX start to fall again? It's currently trading around 77, highest it's been since October 2008. When it starts falling below about 35, then I think the commodities will be in a better position to start sustaining a rally and recovering from this and trading the fundamentals.
Again, that was Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist for Intel FC Stone. And we'll continue in your Ag News on a Thursday afternoon following this.
Did you know that life insurance is more affordable than you think? A small step like packing your lunch for work 3 days a week could go toward the cost of a term life insurance policy from Country Financial. We want to help you turn I can't afford life insurance into I can start protecting my family today. Call Wayne Schaefer at 498-5800 to get started.
Life insurance policies issued by Country Life Insurance Company in Bloomington, Illinois. Costs per policy will vary.
Shop.areadieselservice.com is the easiest way to find the parts you need for your diesel. Since 1973, Area Diesel Service Incorporated has been committed to providing quality parts and services for turbochargers, diesel fuel injection systems, and diesel engines. Located in Carlinville at 1300 North University, they are always just a phone call away at 854-2641 and always online at shop.areadieselservice.com.
Now's a perfect time for spring soil testing. Spring testing is the best way to ensure that your results are ready to be utilized this fall. When your combines are finished in the fields, fall fertilizer application will follow shortly if soil tests are already finished. M&M Service Company's Precision Farming Coordinator can combine your soil test, soil type, and yield to make a customized fertilizer program for your operation. Ask your crop specialist about spring soil testing to further maximize your fertilizer application this fall.
Farmer-owned Prairie Farms, a name that belongs on your shopping list. With fresh strawberries in your favorite market, Prairie Farms dairy products become even more important. Prairie Farms half and half for cereal topped with red ripe strawberries. Prairie Farms whipped cream for shortcake for a delicious low-calorie treat to dip your strawberries in. Prairie Farms yogurt. And to energize for outdoor activities, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
Moving along now into State of Illinois Ag News, trucks should be flowing more freely after a couple of moves by the federal and state government. That's according to Kirby Wagner, who serves as the Assistant Director of Transportation for the Illinois Farm Bureau.
Starting, I guess, really with the President's declaration, emergency declaration for the whole country, it kind of started a few things. So the FMCSA did relax hours of service rules, and those rules are relaxed specifically for emergency delivery. What does that mean specifically? Well, that relates to medical supplies and equipment, including gloves, masks, hand sanitizer, soap. They're allowing food for emergency restocking of stores, equipment, supplies for people that are necessary and are kind of in the quarantine phase, I should say, and working through that emergency or medical services sector. So it's a real specific exemption on the hours of service there, but that has been issued over the weekend. Governor Pritzker did sign a declaration allowing IDOT to issue permit for 10% overweight for trucks hauling emergency supplies for relief. And those emergency supplies, once again, fall into that medical and then emergency restocking of stores type situation. They are going to allow the overweight to be hauled and the permits to be issued in situations when they're normally not. So I think it's important to keep watching. I know that the concern about restocking stores with just that stuff, the equipment, the masks, gloves, hand sanitizer, soaps, disinfectants type thing, and on top of the emergency food. Something to keep watch on. We're hoping that the trucks kind of rally and get some of these extra deliveries made.
Again, that was Kirby Wagner, Assistant Director of Transportation for the Illinois Farm Bureau. And another State Ag News, Illinois is set to receive a significant amount of rainfall over the next few days. DTN Chief Ag Meteorologist Bryce Anderson says it won't be just one event bringing all the rain. He predicts as many as three different weather systems will impact certain parts of the state over the next week.
Over the next 7 days from about Peoria south, we're going to see possibly 2 to 4 inches of rainfall. And you get into the southern quarter of the state, south of Carbondale, there could be even heavier amounts of rain than that. And this is going to be part of a wide area of the south central U.S. that's going to be very wet during the next week. And You know, soils are saturated. We know that. There's already some flooding, some river basin flooding in the Illinois River system and parts of the Mississippi Valley. This is going to enhance that, and it obviously means that we are not going to see an early start to the spring field work season for this year. I'm still holding out some optimism that we're not going to have the exact set of circumstances repeating themselves that we had a year ago, but it is going to be a slow start to spring.
Again, that was Bryce Anderson, the chief meteorologist with DTN. And now in local news from around the area, Chris Reynolds, president of the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Foundation, is pleased to announce the 2020-2021 scholarship recipients. On March 10th, Foundation judges reviewed the applications for the scholarship program and were pleased with the quality of applications they received. Six scholarships in the amount of $2,000 were then awarded. On behalf of the Foundation Board, President Reynolds would like to thank every student who applied and wishes them success as they continue their education and professional endeavors. The County Farm Bureau Foundation Board of Directors encourages students to apply for scholarship programs for the 2021-2022 school year. The application process will be open online at montcofb.com beginning on December 1st. The scholarship recipients this year from three local high schools in Montgomery County include Alexa Cassidy of Nokomis High School, Wesley Stockstill of the Hillsboro High School, and Clayton Walsh of Litchfield High School. Three recipients are currently in college, and they are from Montgomery County. Those three include Grace Anderson, who is currently attending the University of Missouri-Columbia, Cody Nodal, who attends Lakeland College in Mattoon, and Peyton Tester, who attends the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. So congratulations to those six individuals as they continue their college careers in agriculture. And in other local news, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders Committee has canceled their Feed a Gator food drive that was scheduled for Saturday, April the 4th. That has now been canceled due to the ongoing coronavirus concerns. And that'll wrap it up for this Thursday afternoon edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have ag news for us, that can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. Cancellations can be sent to us at cancellations at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday afternoon, March 19th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.